The Bible has a lot to say about our work. For instance, the book of Proverbs, right, is full of teachings on the way we should approach our work. But the teachings on a Christian's approach to work are not restricted to Proverbs. We find a number of passages in the New Testament as well, where God is giving us principles and commands that relate to our work. And we're going to look at three of those this morning, one in Ephesians and two in 1 Peter. And as we do, I'm going to share two stories with you from my own experience in my career. I'm not going to point to myself as the example to follow. I'm actually going to share two examples of when I got it wrong and what God taught me through that. And I hope that'll be helpful for you as you think about your approach to work yourself. I don't point to myself as the example because the Lord gives us the example to follow in His Word. That's where we want to go for the source of truth and for those principles we want to follow in our work. So I'm just going to start by opening up to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 to 8. As we take a look at these passages this morning, we're gonna see that God is basically presenting us two approaches that Christians can take to their work. One is what we might call the wrong way. It's the self-centered approach. And the other is the right way. And let's go ahead, Mike, and advance one. The right way would be the God-centered approach. And so as we look at these three passages, we're going to take a look at how the Bible instructs us in as to what this looks like. And then we'll probably see ourselves maybe in both sides of this camp. But our goal, of course, is to pursue the God-centered approach. So let's read Ephesians 6, 5 to 8. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Micah, let's go ahead and advance one more, if you would, there. So, I just want to point to a few things here. If we're taking the God-centered approach, we're working as to Christ. Our work is for the Lord, meaning we're going to see our job, the current job we have, as something God has entrusted to us. It's a stewardship. But if we're taking a self-centered approach, it's going to be the opposite. We're not going to see it as a trust. It's really about me. My job is either going to be a stepping stone. It's just about getting me to the next position, the promotion. Or it's going to be seen as a necessary evil. It's just here to pay the bills, right? Just to take care of the family. I got to work, so I got a job. It's good enough, I guess, right? In Ephesians, we learned that if we're taking the God-centered approach, we are focused on doing it from the heart. We're seeing ourselves as slaves of Christ. We're working for Him. We're rendering service to God, not just to men. But if we're taking the self-centered approach, it's all about when people are watching. Right? He said, eye service, just for eye service. Or it's about being men pleasers rather than slaves of Christ. I'm here just to please men. It's all about service to men. And then we saw there at the end of the passage, he said, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord. If I'm taking the God-centered approach, I'm looking to God for the reward. But in the man-centered approach, because I'm working for self, and that means I'm going to try to do what pleases men, I'm going to be all about looking to man for the reward. Now, this, depending on which approach we take, it'll lead to different behaviors, and I'm going to share an example of that in just a second. But just think about if I'm just working for eye service, what's going to happen when people aren't watching? Right? And if I'm just working to please men, I'm likely to compromise my beliefs, my integrity, in order to please men, because by pleasing men, I get what I want out of the job. I get the reward I want. I'm looking to men for the reward. There's a verse in Jeremiah 17:5. It says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh. His heart turns from the Lord." Then later it says, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." And really, this we're going to see here, this all comes down to trust. Am I going to trust God with my job, with my career? Or am I going to lean hard on my own understanding and trust myself or men with my career? Let's go ahead and add one more verse to this. 1 Peter 5:6, where we read this. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's a position of trust. I'm trusting God. Why? So that he may exalt you. He's doing the exalting. When? At the proper time. So we can add to this, that not only are we looking to God for the reward, I'm trusting him to promote me or exalt me in his time. Right? But if I'm taking the self-centered, the man-centered approach, I'm not trusting God to do this in his time. I'm not even trusting him to do the promoting. I'm going to be responsible for the promoting. I'll self-promote. And I'm going to be clamoring for recognition and the exaltation that people can give me. A number of years ago, I had recently been promoted. I had been promoted to a level of management that, frankly, I never expected I would reach. As a young man, I didn't have aspirations to climb the corporate ladder. I was too concerned about what that would mean for my family. I protected time with family and work-life balance, which is the lingo we often use in the career world, right? In the corporate world, was important to me. So I had turned down promotions that would cause me to travel more than I wanted or would require me to be away from my family. So I had been promoted to a level now I never had expected. It was a good job. I had a good boss. And at the same time, I had a friend who I had previously worked for, and he was climbing the corporate ladder. Just like a firework, he was taking off. Within 2 years, he had jumped 3 levels. He was now at the most senior levels of executive management. He was rubbing shoulders with the company officers and the CEO regularly. And this was in a Fortune 20, later a Fortune 50 company, so it was a pretty big deal. And we would talk here and there just to catch up. And on one day when we were talking, he said to me, "Adam, you're capable of so much more. You're really held back in your current organization. You have so much potential." I think that he said these things thinking that he was helping me. He said it with good intentions. But have you ever heard the saying, "What tickles the ear is not always good for the heart"? I ate up those compliments. I absorbed them, and without realizing it, I was beginning to step down a path that I would remain on for basically a year. It was a path of discontentment, a path of self-promotion. Now remember, I had a good job. I had a good boss. I had just recently been promoted. But based on what he had told me and based on the way I received those words, my view on my current job started to change. I started to think I was being held back. I was now seeing it just as a stepping stone. It was no longer a stewardship that God had entrusted to me, and I started to get my eyes fixed on things like titles and seniority and the respect that comes along with those things. And I started to want others to see how capable I was. And of course, that led to me figuring out ways to promote myself. Now, this was not my general approach to work. I had learned as a young man the importance of not pushing and manipulating and squeezing my way into promotional opportunities, because when we do that, it's just not wise. We can arrive before we're ready and quickly crater. It's wiser to allow those in leadership around us to see our growth and our maturing and then pull us up into those positions. And I also knew the biblical principle that if I could be trusted in little things, I could be trusted in greater things. But something was different on this occasion. I just started to become very discontent and began to promote myself. I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek godly counsel. I didn't go to God's Word to look for wisdom. I just took things into my own hands and decided it was time for others to see my quality, to see what I was capable of. And, of course, that led to promoting self. I don't think this was so obvious to others. We can get pretty good at making self-promotion appear less self-promoting, can't we? And the world is so about self-promotion, I don't really think it sticks out that much when we take on this mentality. But in my own heart, I knew I was working for self. I was working for eye service to please men. And I was looking to men for the reward. And the crazy thing was that during this time, I was just miserable. I was so discontent. I was clamoring for that which I thought I needed to be satisfied. Jamie, being a good wife, noticed how unsettled I was. And so we would talk about it here and there. And I would share with her what was on my mind and what my motivations were. And rightly so, she was concerned for me. We had some good talks about it. And one morning I woke up and I went in to read my Bible and I found my Bible opened to Psalm 46:10, and it was underlined with a nice little note, something like, "I love you," and pointing to this verse. It was Psalm 46:10. It says, cease striving and know that I am God. And she had hit the nail on the head. I wasn't trusting God. I was striving in my own strength for my own purposes. My lack of trust in God had led to self-promotion and a general lack of gratitude for my current position. At that point, God began to work me over. I confessed to Him how wrong I had been for my approach to work. But I was so tied up and so stuck in the discontentment. It took a couple of months for me to really become free of it. That was a time of a lot of self-examination, a lot of time in the Word. But in the end, God helped me become grateful for my current position. He helped me see it again as something He had entrusted to me and helped me realize I didn't need a promotion to be content. During all of this, God was teaching me an important lesson. It applies not only to our work, but life in general. But I'm just going to talk about it in the context of work. He was teaching me that if I'm not able to find contentment in my current role, I'm not likely to find it in the next. Contentment is not an issue of which job I have. It's an issue of the heart. Contentment is in our work is to be found when we see our job as a stewardship, something entrusted to us, and we're working as if working for God, sincerely from the heart, rendering service to Him, not just to man. And Paul teaches us in Philippians 4:10-12, and I encourage you to look at this later, but he teaches us that contentment is not circumstantial. Contentment is something we are to learn despite our circumstances. It's funny, we often ask each other, what do you do for work, right? So I ask you, what do you do for work? And you answer. And sometimes the next question is, well, do you like what you do? Or sometimes people say, are you passionate about your job? Are you doing what you were made for? I think we ought to just do each other a favor and stop asking each other those questions. Because what I found is they just breed discontent. It's interesting as we come to the scripture, God doesn't focus on doing what we're passionate about, or even talking about doing what we're made for. If we can do that, great. But in God's Word, we see that the job I have today was entrusted to me by God, and that no matter what that job is, I'm to work at it from the heart, as if working for Him. So 1 Peter 5, 6 says, again, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you at the proper time. About a year after I had worked through all of this, the Lord had worked me over, you could say, with all the discontentment, and I had settled down. About a year later, my leadership asked me to put my name in the hat for a promotion. It was a promotion to the same level of seniority that I had previously been clamoring for. And it was a different department, though, different organization. So I took a completely different approach this time. I started to talk to Jamie about it, and we prayed over it. I called my dad. I asked him for some godly counsel. And we decided it was a good idea for me to put my name in the hat for this promotion. But the reason it was completely different was that I was not thinking I needed this promotion to be content, to be satisfied in my job. I was truly able to say, Lord, if it's your will to promote me at this time, if it's your will, right, humble yourself before the Lord that He may exalt you at the proper time. If this is your time, Lord, to promote me, then so be it. And thank you. But if this is not your time to promote me, then so be it. And thank you. The job didn't have a hold on me as it had previously. It just so happened that I was promoted into that position, and I was able to step into it with confidence because I hadn't weaseled my way in. I hadn't manipulated situations to get the position. I hadn't squeezed my way into it. I had humbled myself before the Lord, trusted Him, taken the God-centered approach, and then He had promoted me into that position. I want us to look just at one more passage. This is also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 20. We'll read that for us, and then we'll talk about it. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Now, again, we're talking about finding favor in our work, finding God's favor in our work. And from this passage, I want to glean two other thoughts. The first is that if we're taking the God-centered approach, we're to show respect to those in leadership and authority over us, regardless. But if I'm taking a self-centered approach, do you know what I do? I only show respect and have a submissive attitude when I think they deserve it. Isn't that true? And then, for the God-centered approach, our goal is to work in a way that finds God's favor, rather than just praying for His favor. And I'll talk about that just as we close in a minute. I want to share one more story that really helps paint the picture of what it means to be respectful regardless. Be submissive with all respect regardless. When I was in my late 20s, I worked for a manager who was good and gentle. She valued her employees. She invested in them. She valued me as an employee, and she understood what it meant to have balance between work and life. She was just a great person all around. And then she took early retirement. And her manager, so two levels above me, did decide to replace her, so to hire someone as a new manager. But rather than having me report to that person, she wanted me to report directly to her, so to move up a level. And you might think, well, that sounds like it would have been quite a compliment, Adam. But you didn't know this woman. If you were to look up the definition in the dictionary of workaholic, you might find her name next to it. And she was what we might say unreasonable toward others. She was known for running people into the ground, running her team into the ground. She worked day, evening, night, weekends. She worked through her vacations. And she often put those expectations on others. So I was concerned. I was concerned that what that might mean for me. I wanted to be successful in my job. When I was at work, I wanted to work hard. But I didn't want to be married to my job. Well, on the outside, as I started to interact with her, I gave a show of respect. But in my heart, I was very sour toward her. And, you know, Jesus said that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so as others were gossiping about her, she was a topic of discussion quite a bit. I mean, the opinion I had of her was pretty well common across the organization. I joined right in. It felt good to talk about her weaknesses, her being a workaholic, her lack of concern for others. It felt good to point out her opportunities for growth. I was complaining, grumbling, I had a negative attitude, and again, I was just miserable. One morning, I was reading through 1 Peter, this very passage, and I came to the part that says, "Be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable." And it cut me to the heart. The Lord used this to wake me up. I realized I was dishonoring Him with my attitude toward my boss. And I agreed with Him. It was sinful. It was wrong. And it had to be dealt with. And starting that day, I purposely began speaking positively about her to others. She had some good qualities. You just had to look a little harder for them. And I started to be submissive and respectful, not only in my actions in front of her, but in the attitude of my heart. And because God was working in me, this was sincere. It wasn't just a show. Now, take note of this. My change of attitude was not because she had now become worthy of my respect. She hadn't changed in the slightest. My motivation was that I wanted to be submissive and respectful to my God, which led to me obeying Him by being submissive and respectful to my boss. And there were times I had to hold the ground with her. I did tell her more than once, I won't be married to my job, I have boundaries. And I said it in a respectful way. And it was interesting, over time, I think she respected me more for it. She tended to really value me as an employee. And to just think about it, as a leader, what type of employee will you value more? Someone who has your back or someone who you're suspecting is undermining you behind your back? Right? Is it someone who has a positive, can-do, solution-minded attitude or someone who's negative, a naysayer, talking about why they can't do things? So we had a good relationship, and that allowed me to put my foot down as needed to protect my family and family time. And it was interesting, not too long after this, she made a career decision herself that allowed her to find more balance in life. And I always wondered if our conversations about having boundaries and if that influenced her to make that decision. You know, one of the things that, as Christian men, hopefully one of the things that we want to be is a good witness in our work, at our work, at our job. We want to be a good witness to our boss and to our colleagues. And I just want to say that if that's the case, and it should be the case, we need to be very careful about our approach to work. If we're found regularly quoting Scripture or defending the faith that we claim to hold, but our approach to work is all about the self-centered side of things, Do you think our witness is having much impact? But what if we take the God-centered approach? Right? What if after the boss has chewed us out, we're still showing them respect? What if after your colleague has been promoted over you in the job that you had your name on and everybody else knew it, you're still showing up at work and you're working with all your heart and you're working with sincerity? Do you think people aren't going to stand up and take notice? I'll guarantee you they will, because no one does this. Right? Not unless there's something really going on inside. And that causes people to think, there must be something to this God they talk about. There must be something to this faith that they cling to. It brings validity to our witness. I remember early on in my career, I leaned a lot on the left-hand side of this chart. I leaned a lot into the self-centered approach, but I would still pray often, God, please give me favor in my work. God, would you give me favor with my boss? Would you give me favor in this presentation? Would you give me favor on this project or in this program? It's as if I thought God's favor was just one ingredient to mix into my overall approach to work. It was a magic ingredient that would make me successful in my career. But I was dead wrong. I mean, just imagine if God, of course, didn't answer me audibly, but I can imagine him saying, no, no, Adam, I'm not going to grant you favor in your work when you're approaching work in a way I told you not to approach work. When you're approaching work in a way that dishonors me rather than honors me. One of the Proverbs says, he who diligently seeks good finds favor. And we need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to diligently seek good in our work? Well, the Bible's told us. And we just called out a few of the principles here this morning. It means to work as if working for Christ. My job is something he's entrusted to me. I'm doing it from the heart. I know I'm serving him, not just men. And I'm looking to him for the reward, meaning I'm also trusting him to promote me in his time. I'm showing respect to those in leadership over me regardless. When I do this, I'm not just praying for God to give me favor in my work. I'm working in the way that finds God's favor.